Stafford had to spin away from Highsmith. Throws on the run towards the end zone. Caught. Tutu Atwell. Touchdown.
That play to end the first half was just so eye-popping to me. It didn't make much sense at all. Watching it live, it was towards the end zone that I was at. I was sitting near. And from what I saw from my vantage point in the end zone, is that this was basically a jump ball. End of the half, Stafford's looking to take a shot. He sees Tutu Atwell down the field. He only had one catch. And Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson were both there. One-on-one with two guys down the field for the Rams. One was blanketed pretty well defensively. Peterson was there. But then it didn't look right. It looked odd. From my vantage point, Atwell moved from the right side of the field to the left side of the field, to the near side of the field, and just came back to the ball where Levi Wallace never even saw it. It was like Wallace never even knew the ball was in the air. And Atwell was just standing there, kind of like he was receiving a punt, and just a walk-in touchdown. And I was just like, huh. More confused than anything. This is a team that decided to move away from Akella Witherspoon, who was, fine, okay, I guess. He also got beat by this guy a lot.
First in Los Angeles in 30 years.
They've got that look down the bottom again.
Pickett's looking there for Pickens. Back shoulder executed to perfection in front of their old teammate, Akella Witherspoon.
Would Akella Witherspoon be good on this team? Would it have been a good idea to keep him? I think everybody knew his flaws. And he wasn't the greatest coverage corner. Now, I think we also saw Joey Porter Jr. get exposed a little bit in tackling. Now look, Joey Porter Jr. coverage-wise is the Steelers' best corner. He's their best coverage corner. Now the tackling is an issue. It's a problem. He got run over by Puka Nacua. There was a play where I think it ended up being a 15-yard run, about a 12-yard run. It was over 10 yards. And Joey Porter crashed in on the play, could have made it again a four or so, and he got run over. He got bounced off of on the tackle attempt. And that's one thing that Porter has to work on continuously. It needs to be a point of emphasis. And I think it will be. That's probably why Mike Tomlin has been so hesitant to put him out there. Let's say they test Porter on a 20-yard pass. He can't make the tackle. And a 20-yard reception becomes a 45-yard, 50-yard reception. Touchdown. Difference in the game. I get that. His coverage is really good. I'm not comparing these two. I'm not saying Joey Porter Jr. is this guy. But I've heard so many times how poor Deion Sanders was at tackling. It was just a great coverage corner. Can't you teach tackling? Wrapping somebody up, being able to make the stop. That should be more teachable than in coverage where Joey Porter Jr. has thrived. The play he made on Puka Nacua where I thought maybe a hold, maybe he got Nacua. But overall, just blanketed coverage. So good. And when national analysts are saying that Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson are the worst cornerback tandem in the NFL right now. I mean, you got to play Joey Porter Jr. And I really wonder if Corey Trice would have been playing more right now. The 7th-round pick who got hurt out for the season was lost in training camp. If he would be getting so much of maybe not a starting role, if Joey Porter Jr. can't even start, But why not play him a little bit? It would have been interesting to see if that indeed was the case. But it was John Ledyard, who does a lot of different things throughout the NFL, said that in Week 7, Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson combined to give up 7 catches on 9 targets, 161 yards, and a touchdown. They earned PFF coverage grades, Levi Wallace of 38, Patrick Peterson 44. 23 yards per catch. 23 yards per catch. And remember, Matt Stafford, in the final 20 minutes of the game, did he complete a pass? And he says it's the worst quarterback tandem in the league. Change has to be coming. Joey Porter Jr., no catches allowed on 3 targets, 1 pass breakup. He played 4 more snaps than Levi Wallace. Finally. It's about time. Some of these young guys, it's so critical they step up. Kenny Pickett played a good game in the second half. What is one thing that's so critical? Game manager, I think, is overused. And I think it's a derogatory term as well. If you call somebody a game manager, you think of Sam Howell or Trent Dilfer on the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. Nick Foles, I don't even think, was a game manager when he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Gardner Minshew, they let him sling it around. Is he a game manager? But yeah, Sam Howell's probably like your prototypical game manager. San Francisco was trying to use Brock Purdy originally. It's just a game manager. Backup quarterbacks, game managers. They're just the game manager to get everything rolling. Don't do too much. Hand off the football enough. Pickett is not a game manager when it comes to the fourth quarter. And I even tweeted it out like literally right before the fourth quarter began. Okay, Pickett, this is supposedly your time where you thrive. It's the fourth quarter, and then boom, 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 right down the field they score. But what I was getting to, game manager, he doesn't turn the ball over. Pickett has been very solid outside of that San Francisco game. Steelers were an abomination against Houston. Want that one back. But Kenny Pickett doesn't turn it over. He really doesn't. Compared to Matthew Stafford, first play of the second half, picked off by TJ Watt, set up a Pickett 1 yard rushing touchdown. Overall, though, Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson, they played well against Cooper Kupp, 2 catches on the game, and you can tell that that was a point of emphasis. But they let Puka Nacua beat him. And there were so many times when Peterson and Wallace were trailing the play. They're just getting beat. And on the 2-point conversion, when Cooper Kupp scored the 2-point conversion, I probably went back and watched this play 5 or 6 times. He was lined up on the nearest side of the field by the numbers, right by the side, I think right by the sideline, a little bit past the numbers. Levi Wallace was on him one-on-one. One-on-one covers, no safety help. And Cooper Kupp just beat him off the snap. Just right off the line. Where Kupp put his foot on the ground going right. He didn't even really motion to go right. Just went left. Little out route. 2-point good. Levi Wallace took an inside move towards the inside of the field, trying to predict where Cooper Kupp was going to go, and just completely got beat badly on the play. They let Puka Nacua beat him, almost. It was a solid game defensively up front from the Steelers. I thought Montrevis Adams played pretty well. Larry Ogunjobi had a solid game. The linebackers had a solid game. The front 7 had a good game. The secondary, though, still has some questions. Minka had double-digit tackles. A lot of that is just trying to fill in for some of the guys up front that aren't really doing too well sometimes. Or helping out the secondary when Levi Wallace and Peterson are getting crushed. Something's got to change in the secondary, but you'd have to go out there and try to trade for somebody. That's the issue. And who are you going to try to get? Because the Steelers typically don't make too many trades at the trade deadline. When's the last impactful Steeler trade at the trade deadline? FanDuel Morning Show. More coming up next.